here's the beautiful thing about it. You can develop an internal motivation. You can develop an internal drive.
Winning habits, winning routines, and a winning mindset.
You're the main character of your own life story.
Welcome to the Susan Sly Project, where entrepreneurs rule, startups launch, and the side hustle becomes the main hustle. Ladies and gentlemen, your host, Susan Sly.
Well, what's up, everyone? I hope you're having an amazing day. And, you know, wherever you are, whether you're listening on iTunes, Spotify, or watching on YouTube, I just want to say thanks for dropping by. This show is really about my heart and passion for serving entrepreneurs. And my guest today is a longtime friend. He is someone who has defied the odds on multiple occasions. And today we're going to be talking about what to do when your back is up against the wall. And I want you all to think about this at some point in another. Maybe you've already had this moment where, you know, you've either, you know, lost your company or your marriage has fallen apart or you had a negative health report. And then suddenly in a blink of an eye, things change. There is no one I know more resilient than my guest today. And check this out. He published his first book in 2003, The Business Playbook, Leadership Lessons from the World of Sports. It was such a phenomenon. He ended up lecturing at the Harvard Business School, Kellogg School of Business, Columbia, and Yale. Like, you know, when he does something, he doesn't just do it, you know, half, you know what, it's like all in. He has been a keynote for several Fortune 500 companies. He's built several companies. And then in 2012, my favorite book that he wrote came out, published by Wiley & Sons, called You Gotta Have Balls, How a Kid from Brooklyn Started from Scratch, Bought Yankee Stadium, and Created a Sports Empire. This man has sold dirt from Yankee Stadium. He sold the roof off of Syracuse. And he is focused and not finished. So my guest today is my dear friend, Brandon Steiner. Brandon, thank you for being here.
My pleasure. Nice to be with you always, Susan. You know, I'm a big fan of yours, to say the least. I'm just trying to catch up with you, man. I'm hoping like one day I can catch up. Man, you're there's so much going on. And listen, it's an interesting time in this country, on this planet, and certainly a time for, I'm hoping, change, good change. Mm-hmm. And, you know, sometimes the most difficult, heartful situations do create the most positive changes. Unfortunately, when you think about some of the worst thing that's ever happened to you, and sometimes there's a rainbow that comes after that. You know, when you think about that terrible storm, right? I mean, you think about a terrible storm, and then right after is that beautiful sun, you know, that rainbow. And I'm hoping that that's what's going to happen here in this country, you know, with everything going on politically and everything going on with this virus. So I'm looking forward to the summer and the fall when hopefully things will straighten itself out. And I think in a lot of cases, you know, the subject we're going to talk about today, which is having your back against the wall, is extremely relevant, because I think we all right now have our backs against the wall. We've all had a lot of time to really do some deep search and thinking, realization, and reflection. You know, what are you going to do? You know, and the truth of the matter is, not to jump ahead of the question you want to ask me, which is, you know, what do you do when your back's against the wall? But at the end of the day, the people that are used to creating that situation, like, I've always tried to put myself, the game within the game, and put my back against the wall. So this stuff doesn't scare me as much as it does for most. And it's not to diminish what's going on or diminish how everybody feels about it. It's just that, you know, I started my first company in a really adverse, crazy environment with a recession, grew up in a terrible recession where nobody can get a job in the early 70s, late 60s. But the real reality is that when you put nothing really great ever happens until you push yourself up against the wall. It's like the test is tomorrow and you haven't really studied that much. You know, you put that pressure, you come through, you figure out how to study it all, and you get a good grade. The question is, how do you do that all the time? Because the best thing that's ever happens to you is the stuff when you put your back against the wall. It's one of the best things that can happen, is by creating that pressure, creating that, you know, oh man, I'm stressed. Good. I'm glad. What good happens if you're not pressed and stressed? So when people tell me they're pressed and stressed, it means they're on the road doing something good. So if you're feeling a little pressed and stressed, you may be on a road to something really, really good, because that means you're getting outside of your comfort zone and you're getting into something that's probably a little uncomfortable. You're pushing yourself to have to change your career. Maybe your job situation completely flipped on you. The industry you were in completely dissolved. I don't know. you should always be putting yourself in that what if and that stressful situation about what's next and what else, which is about my second book, is you got to have balls. It's about what's next, what else. And if you're constantly thinking that, you don't have to pivot. If you're running a company and you're not in a constant thinking about pivot mode, what's next, what happens if, then you're not really leading. You know, that's about finding the leadership skills inside of you. And that's what having your back against the wall is all about, is putting that pressure and putting that stress. Question is, why wait for a virus to do it? You know, Get used to it, because that's how you grow and that's how you go.
When was the first time that you remember that your back was truly against the wall? Like you had to act, or something wasn't going to happen, or someone wasn't going to eat, or there wasn't going to be a roof over someone's head, or you weren't going to make a payroll. When was that first time you remember that?
Well, I was 10. I was in fifth grade. I went to the front of the class, Mr. Kerper, in PS 215 Avenue S and East 2nd Street. I lived at 539 Kings Highway over a Glock Kosher Butcher, and things were tough. Roach infested, welfare, didn't have much money. And I got brought to the front of the class during a test. Mr. Kirby said, we took an envelope. Here's some money for you to buy some clothes. I said, how do you know I need clothes? He said, well, you've been wearing the same pants for 3 weeks in a row. Mm-hmm. I'm like, how do you know that? Like, he says, well, you have a rip in the right knee. I remember like it was yesterday, and I remember the pants exactly. I went home. I was, you know, completely, you know, listen, when you're young, you don't really know about poor, rich. You see some other kids that maybe have more than you have, but you don't really understand it. And at that moment, you know, that was a moment of like, wow, Brandon, your circumstances. Well, one of my mother's favorite lines is like, you're not poor, your circumstances are poor. But I realized when I went home and told my mom I collect this money, I said, no, I'll give that money back. We're fine. When I went back to my room to lay down, I was like, it doesn't make sense. And I went into my mother's room and I said, you know something? I realized we're having a hard time here. I'm going to go get a job. Now, for those of you out there that have 10-year-olds, imagine your 10-year-old walking in saying, I'm going to go out on the street. Now, King's High was a long strip of stores, and I'm going to go door to door until I find a job. Like, I can't get my 10-year-old to get up and have breakfast and get dressed. I'm going to get up on my own and I'm going to find a job. And I did. I got up and went up and down that highway. And I found Freddie the Fruit Man. It was a fruit and vegetable store that delivered fruit and vegetables, had a nice little fruit and vegetable stand. And he hired me for $1.50 an hour. And I remember telling my mother, I said, look, you don't have to worry about me anymore. I realize that things are tough. And if I have extra money, I'll give it to the family. And I can go buy some food. I can buy some clothes for myself. You don't have to worry. Now, I don't highly recommend that for a 10-year-old to have that kind of responsibility, but I did. And that pressure, although I don't know if I felt enormous pressure at that time, but I felt the need that I had to go do something. And I always tell people, it's like, there is going to come a point in time in your life where you have to decide whether you're going to be accountable and whether you're going to take responsibility for the circumstances you're in. We're all wealthy. We're all well-deserving, loving people. But sometimes our circumstances suck. The question is, do you want to draw a line in the sand and take responsibility for the circumstance you're in and do something about it? Or are you going to sit back and look back and say, oh, I've dealt the bad card, or, oh, my circumstance, or are you going to start feeling bad? I always call you want to be a plum. Poor little old me, you know, like, do you want to be a plum? Like, you don't want to be a plum. Like, you, at the end, when I think about 10 years old and say, you know something, my circumstances really suck here. Like, I don't have a lot of stuff other kids have, and I don't even have clothes. I'm going to do something about it. I'm not going to say, you know, my dad left and he died when I was 11. My mother's a single parent with 3 kids. I had all the excuses. And this is the problem that a lot of people, when their back's against the wall, their first instinct is for the excuses. Mm-hmm. But the first instinct needs to be to have gratitude, be grateful for what you do have, and take action towards what you want to get. And I think that I can't believe I did that at 10. And believe me, I was there 15 minutes early. I never missed a day of work. And I haven't for 50 years. I mean, because I'm 60 now and I started when I was 10. Yeah. So the funny thing is, like, when you take that kind of accountability, and a lot of times the best things that happen is when your back's against the wall. I look back, even when I had my last company, we were down to our last dollar. Backs were against the wall. Mm-hmm. We're about to call it a day. And sure enough, like at 4 a.m, we came up with this solution to move a whole bunch of our inventory that we were stuck on that we couldn't move. 4 hours and 23 minutes, that call. My wife woke up at about 4 a.m. and said, what are you doing? I'm looking at the phone. You're on the phone for over 4 hours. I'm like, we're just talking. We're trying to figure it out. And somewhere around 4:30 in the morning, this guy who worked for me and I, we figured it out and it saved our company. But our backs were against the wall. We had nowhere to go. We had nowhere else to borrow money. We had to move this bucket of inventory. So what I really hope that the audience and people are listening is, if your back's not against the wall, then put it. If it is against the wall, be grateful and be thankful and do something about it. Start with gratitude for the fact that you can have a back and can be against the wall. And then take accountability about what you want to do going forward. You'd be surprised. You'd be ahead of 90% of the planet.
Yeah.
I think my next book is going to be Success is Waking Up in the Morning and Just Getting Out of Bed. It's like, you know, listen, just one nugget at a time. Like, you know, and I always try, like the other day, I was really down. It's like, I was down. I was just not feeling it. And I was like, you know, so I'm just going to figure out how to do a couple of nice things for a few people today. I want to get my day started there. And you'd be surprised the lift you get from helping somebody unconditionally. It's so, you know, if you're struggling and things are not going the way you are, then figure out you can help somebody else that's struggling.
We just before we started recording the show, we're catching up for a minute. And I said to Brandon, I'm like, I was in an all-day M&A meeting yesterday. I feel like I was like literally just hit with a pressure washer. And you know how much sympathy he gave me? Nothing. So like, that's the whole thing. You know, as you said, you know, it's, we're going to have those moments. We're going to be down at times. We're going to be, you know, we're going to be tired. But when your back is against the wall, achievers always find a way. I was homeless in 2000. So yeah, in 2000, my back was against the wall. I lost a business. I ended up homeless as a single mom. And I went from, you know, Mercedes, Louis Vuitton handbag, like all this stuff, because I was focused on the wrong thing, to losing it all. And when your back is against the wall and it's public, and we'll talk about that in a moment, where everyone loves a comeback story. But at the same token, in a lot of countries, they love to see the demise of people. And when it's public and you're that person, it is so hard. And so I reached out to my network. I dusted off my resume. I got the referrals. I got a job. I found a place to live and I hustled. But the point I want to make about this is that a lot of people, when things start going sideways, they start feeling sorry for themselves and there's a lot of collateral damage. And I would love you to talk about that. You have had in the past very public demises. And so have some of our friends, right? But you come back even stronger. And if someone's listening or watching right now, and they're going, I'm going through that right now. People are watching me. Look at all the people, restaurant business, all the aesthetics businesses, people losing businesses. For a lot of people, it's very public and it's very painful. What advice would you give to them?
Well, first of all, it's okay to feel bad about the, you know, when you get punched in the face, you know, it hurts. So, you know, to make believe it doesn't hurt is not real. But, you know, I think it is all about getting back up. And sometimes I think when things happen in a more public way, like, you know, I built Steiner up for 30 years and I had a hostile takeover and got thrown out. You know, it's painful. You know, I put my life work in that. But on the other hand, it's never as painful to others outside as it is to you. And sometimes we do tend to blow up the pain that we think that we're going through as far as the view of how other people see us. Like, I think we overestimate that. So sometimes your embarrassment or shame is it's kind of self-created. Mm-hmm. And in some cases, even self-made up. But you know, we all live in our own little movie. We're all living our own little script and world. But I think for me, you know, the most important thing was, always the same most important thing was that the people that love you and the people that care about you, they're going to love you and care about you regardless. And that's, again, go back to gratitude. And you know, I was very grateful, like my family, and I know who my real friends are. And it's a little bit of another punch in the face when you realize that you deal with all these people and you thought that they were your friends, but they're not really, which kind of, you know, gives you a reality sense that, not that they're bad people, but you maybe overestimated your relationship. So I'm a relationship guy and I take my relationship seriously. I don't take people for granted that I get to know and have a relationship with. And so I think real relationships, when I find people I like, are hard to find. And I highly suggest that when something like that knocks you down, you know, go find the real relationships because cherish them. And that's really what your life is really all about, not the business or the money or the job you lost, because that stuff in the long run is just what it is. And for me, it was really the hard part was just figuring out, you know, do I leave or do I stay? You know, as hard as it was to start a new business at 60 years old, it was also hard to leave the business I was in. I mean, you know, when I think back on it, it's like, wow, Brandon, it's some set of balls you have, like, to leave that business, because that's what I was going to do. I didn't expect the hostile takeover. I was going about it a different way. But I think, you know, you got to make the hard decisions. Yeah. And because usually the stuff that happens to you, you have to take some responsibility for participating in the storm that occurs. I'm not saying it's always your fault. Sometimes just bad shit happens. But I think that sometimes the storm that's coming, you know, you knew it was coming and you ignored it. And then you want to know why all of a sudden you got soaking wet and all rained on. So for me, you know, I think the big decision is, you know, when you get up, what do you want to do about it? And how can you take advantage of this new beginning that you get? I think I get 60, like I get a new beginning and I remind myself of like, wow. Cause you know, I had 100 and some people working, you know, I'm in a $40-50 million a year business that's kind of cranking and you know, you're dealing with all the insanity and I get a fresh script with fresh people and a fresh view. What a blessing and what a gift from God, really, when I think about it, because I wasn't all that happy. And that's the thing you got to remember. You have a tendency of remembering when before all the storm hit you. It's like, you know, the person who gets divorced, they remember, you know, all the good things, but they don't remember what got them into that storm to begin with. You know, there's a lot of unhappiness. And I was unhappy my last few years at my last company. So, you know, I try to find gratitude as a common denominator. And I try to remember back. What's fun now is I'm going back to my earlier days. Even though the business playbook was the least popular out of my three books, you know, I go back and I read the business playbook, Susan, it's fascinating about the mindset that I had that really enabled me to build my last company from a $4,000 investment to a $50 million company and made me a wealthy person. And I'm going back and I'm using a lot of the same techniques. You know, I'm outworking my competition. I'm outsmarting them. I'm finding the white space. I'm working on hitting singles. Everybody wants to hit a home run. They want to make this big. It just never works. I mean, unless you want to get a lottery ticket. I mean, there's no big home run out there. You know, you got to go and put the right people around yourself, come up with a good idea, sample it. So here I am going back to all the things that I was telling myself back in 2003 when I wrote that book. And I'm like, wow, this is, you know, using the assets. You had mentioned it earlier, like using the assets, using the relationships you have to your advantage. Because I think a lot of times we get ahead of ourselves about who we're going to meet and who we can connect with. And you're not even really meeting and connecting with the people you know. Mm-hmm. And I think that's when your back's against the wall, get to know the people that you know better. I always say it's not who you know, what you know, but what you know about who. Take mm-hmm. a deeper dive with the people that you know, your neighbors, relatives, friends that are your real friends, and take a deeper dive and see where that could take you. You'd be surprised. Because right now with all the social media and everything, you get all over the place with the likes and the friends and the messages, and it does create a little confusion sometimes. So you got to really kind of hyper-focus on a group of people that probably can really help you. And that's what I've been doing for the last year. I've been building a nice business up, started with all my own money, so I don't have to answer a lot of people. And I'm just taking it, you know, again, just really trying to put a couple good quality things on the table every day and growing and just doing good work. Because I think when you do something good, people notice.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, you said so much there. I want to go back to something you said about when you're having that wall kicking moment, go do something good for someone else. So like you know, we've got like all sorts of things going on with Radius, you know, growing a startup, especially to your point when you have investors. So we raised 7.1 million just in friends and family round, right? So now the next thing is Series A, acquisition, you know, all this stuff we're going through, building the company is no joke. And yet one of the things I do every single week is I make time for another woman founder. And so I was talking to a woman today, I won't say her name. She's got a food product and she's in 700 locations in the United States. And she's trying to decide what to do. And I said, honey, I've been there. I get that when you're kind of tired and you're like, do I sell this thing or do I take on investment capital, give away some of my equity? What do I do? And, but afterwards, Brandon, you know, I felt so good, right? Like it's, you know, we can donate money, but sometimes donating our wisdom has an even bigger impact.
And our time. But for the people out there, and that's a blessing to even be in the position you're in when you think about it, a lot of people never even get in that position to make those kinds of decisions. But even if you're somewhere now where your career has been destroyed, washed out, just finding, you know, like the Navy person said at the Texas graduation, just make your bed. Hey, you know, just get busy, get a job. It's always easy to get a job when you have one, you know, get busy. You know, find something that you're good at. And even if you're going to get underpaid a little bit, get yourself moving. The worst thing you do is when you just stop and you're waiting for something to happen, because more than likely it's, you know, that's what you're going to do is wait. So, you know, make something happen. Regardless, you got to go deliver groceries, you know, you get whatever you got to do to keep yourself moving, getting some money coming in. And then it gives you a much more clarity towards moving towards what you really want to do, as opposed to being needy. Because when you're needy and desperate, it really does push people away. And mm-hmm. when you don't have a job and you haven't worked for a whole bunch of months, it's a dangerous place and it's a dangerous resume to have. Like, you don't want to have that kind of gap. I always say, you know, when the water gets rough, the sharks keep swimming. You have to act shark-like. So mm-hmm. there is work out there. There are companies that need help. It may not be with what you want to do, but you know something? You can figure it out. And then as you're moving along, you figure out where you want to slide over to as the economy and as things change, you find your way. But sitting back and waiting and doing nothing, collecting unemployment is a very dangerous pattern. Mm-hmm. And employers will not look fondly on it. And I see a lot of people falling into that gap, especially you get some extra unemployment money and you're semi-comfortable and you kind of get used to sitting home. I was just telling a friend of mine, like, when I got at the end of Steiner, you know, before I started Collectible Exchange, I'm sitting home for about 4 months, you know, to develop the ideas and everything. And at one point I say to myself, you know, just doing nothing's not bad. I'm working out every day. I got a lot of free time, going out with my wife. And I could see a few more months, maybe me not want to work anymore. Because, you know, things are habit forming. And I'm a guy who's been working my whole life and I love working. Like, here I am actually considering the concept of maybe I don't have to work anymore. Because, you know, I don't have to work for money. I'm working because I love what I do. So I'm not working hoping I can put food on the table. So after 4 months, so I can see some people now out of work 7, 8, 9 months. It's very easy to be, all of a sudden you just get so flat. You know, you're going to put yourself in a position not to be able to go back out and work and get your mind and get everything kind of going. So it's really important. Doing nothing is a bad decision. Mm-hmm. Very, very bad decision. I highly recommend when your back's against the wall, try to avoid doing nothing and really find a way to get going. Even if it's a nominal job that maybe is below what you're normally used to doing, that it doesn't have to be permanent. Remember, your future is not fixed. It's not permanent. Your future is not permanent. Your future is what you want it to be. And it will be what you want it to be. But it's really hard to cultivate a really incredible future when you're flat on your back.
Mm-hmm. Beautiful. I want to ask you a final question and we'll talk about what you're doing now. So you and I are good friends with Glenn Stearns, and talk about a guy who's had some
amazing
public, you know, things happen to him. And he was first season, if the audience doesn't know, Undercover Billionaire. I was just on Glenn's show, his new show, and we were talking about this concept, like, you know, how do you handle it when things totally go sideways? So I want to ask this question. You wake up tomorrow, there is no house, there is no beautiful wife, no kids, you got $100, a cell phone, and none of your network is in your phone. What would Brandon Steiner do?
Well, the first thing I would do is I would go to a secure opportunity that would give me a roof over my head and be able to make me some money. And given my skill set, would probably just go to my backup plan, which has always been stomach kid, which is, you know, go to a restaurant or go into the kitchen and figure out how to create value. Even though that's definitely not what I'm looking to go back to doing, but it's funny you say that, because the first thing that came to my mind when this virus hit was like, maybe I need to start a restaurant consulting company, because all these companies now and restaurants are doing takeout and delivery. And they, most of them don't know what they're doing other than a pizza joint. The pizza places did great because they used to delivery and takeout. But all these other places, their websites and their social media and their delivery service were horrible. Even the person answering the phone. So like my first thing I was thinking, and I know Glenn was genius with his approach, but if I had $100, I would go and I would try to go find a restaurant chain and let them hire me to help them run their takeout service. And I'd blow that thing up and I would take a minimum amount of money just so I could have some food and maybe enough shelter. And then I would say, listen, give me a piece of the upside. I just want everything I can increase your sales over. I just want a small sliver. That'd be one of the first things I would do, because I thought about that back in March. So imagine if I had anything, I would just go and kill it in the restaurant business. But meanwhile, the restaurant people are screaming, crying, bloody murder and everything because they couldn't pivot. And a lot of them are in difficult situations because, you know, ones in the inner cities that are pretty much closed down. I'm not sure there is a pivot play there. But I think there's a lot of restaurants that miss the boat on the ability to take out and really create more takeout ability for families. You know, like, do I want to order from a really good restaurant, five entrees at $30 an entree that I'm going to put in a dish and take home? No. But you come up with some family style stuff. All the pizza places do. Yeah. You know, come up with a family for five package. That's a reasonable amount of money. I'm ordering that all the time. Instead, most of them didn't figure that out. So I like that idea. And I also think there's a resale market out there, not a retail market. I never see more people go home. And this is what really blew my collectible exchange up, is that they went home and started going over their collectibles and started calling me up and say, Brandon, can you sell this for me? And that's what our site is filled with, all kinds of other people's stuff. So I think right now the resale on furniture, on all kinds of assets, jewelry, people are just in incredible resale mode. And I think there's a lot of young people that love the idea of buying resale stuff at a cheaper price.
Yeah.
So I there's nothing wrong with taking $100, going to a couple yard sales, buying as much as I can for $100 and flip it for $2. And then next week, go buy $200 worth of stuff and flip it for $4. Doable.
If you look at Glenn has a new show. I always plug my friends, right? So Glenn has this new show on Discovery Plus, and season one of Undercover Billionaire, my 11-year-old she was 10 then. So we started watching and she's like, oh, you know, and then there's a point when Glenn is really sick and he's in the truck and he's coughing and she's like, Mommy, can you call Mrs. Stearns and see if he's okay? But the one of the things about that show, you know, he does it all. Like, he goes and finds the truck, the tractor tires, and then he's flipping cars and he finds the best real estate. It ultimately comes down to, and I want to give you the last word, but if your back is against the wall, achievers always find a way. They see opportunity and adversity. When the pandemic hit, at Radius, we had technology, Brandon, to be able to determine using computer vision and AI if someone was properly washing their hands. So we very quickly got it up to, are they wearing a mask? Do they have a fever? So we implemented in the Mayo Clinic. We're in the VA right now because we said, oh my gosh, we can use technology. We can use AI to help people. So anyone listening, don't think, oh, Susan's in this position because, you know, here we are, you know, with a company valuation of north of $250 million. And Brandon will tell you, it was a couple of years ago, I was visiting him in his office in New Rochelle, and it was just a concept at that point.
Crazy.
But, yeah.
Remember it well.
Yeah. And here's where we're at. Because when that hit, we're like, okay, let's go. And I know there were some of you, because I every comment on the show on YouTube, I'm the one that responds to it, not one of my staff. I know some of you right now, your back is against the wall. You're feeling sorry for yourself. You're sitting there in the corner going, poor me. Here's what I want to say to you. Stop it. I don't buy my excuses, so I'm not going to buy yours. Brandon, what do you want to say to that person?
First of all, you know, I have my prayers to all of you that you can and want to find your way. I think, you know, it is a time when we have to lead with empathy, because it is tough out there. I mean, you know, I don't want to give you a rah-rah, because it is hard and it is a little bit of a mind twist to what's going on in a lot of respects. So I think what you're feeling is not crazy. You're not nuts. This country's feeling it, whether you have a lot of money, whether you have a great job or don't have a job, everyone's feeling. So you're not alone. And I put my hand out to you and hope that you can grab it and feel the love from your neighbors and from your friends, because it is tough. But what I would say to you is, try to take your head in a little bit of a different position. And for me, what I do, because I've had some ups and downs over the last 2 months, even though my business is doing well and far greater than I ever thought it was going to be with this new business, it's been incredibly difficult and really successful. But I think about where I want to be next fall. I figure, you know, I just try to go put myself in a position like I'm thinking, you know, some, I think there's going to be a train wreck for at least another 3-4 months and the vaccines and all this other stuff. And I don't even know who to believe. And I don't want to get caught up in it. I'm not going to get up going on watching the news every night. What I'm going to say is my common sense meter. This common sense must dictate. I'm thinking, you know, next fall, I could see this thing kind of straightening itself out. Maybe not fully, but in a large degree. So I'm thinking about what I want to do, where I want to go, what I can treat myself the next fall, and how I want my company to look. So that I'll be prospering enough so I can go do all those things in the fall. So my head is all about planning and creating the intensity so that next fall, you know, October, November, December, I can do some of these things. And I've started going on a diet. I started getting myself even more healthy again because I lost, you know, a little bit of my health kick with, you know, feeling a little down, not working out as much. And I'm like, you know, something, when I go back out in the fall, I want to be in good shape. And I'm just thinking towards when the next positive bucket. Now, that may be setting myself up for something that hopefully may not come true, but I'm banking on the fall. I'm looking at the fall, and I'm looking at everything I'm doing now that's going to pay big dividends in the fall, and not get caught up into the. I'm not going to let these bumps in the road put me on the side of the road where I'm waiting for everything to straighten itself out, and then I'm going to pick it up and go. So that's my goal, and you know I hope that everyone can go find a little motivation. Especially if you're hurting on the job market or the money market, you know, it's so important to eat smart and exercise because that clarity will give you the extra energy to go get that, maybe that side job or the side hustle that you need just to get through this time.
Yeah. Beautiful. And that's the whole thing. Yeah. It is hard out there. And you and I are so aligned. If our backs were against the wall, we wouldn't just sit in the corner and feel sorry for ourselves. We'd get out, we'd make something happen, even if it wasn't the dream thing, but putting food on the table, the roof over the head, you know, whatever it takes to provide for our family or, you know, whatever it takes, and doing it in such a way that it does add value for someone else. But I would just say, if someone's been struggling for a long time, you know, listen to podcasts like this one, you know, learn from people who have been, you know, in a time where their back was against the wall. How did they get out of it? What is the mindset of that person? And I know for myself, when I did lose everything, and that wasn't the only time my back was against the wall, what really, really helped me was listening to inspiring stories. I remember the first time I heard about Tony Robbins doing dishes in his bathtub. And I was like, if he can do that, I can do that. And that's the thing, you know, you're talking to two people today and it was on my heart. You know, my producer was like, what's the topic going to be with Brandon? Cause we've had him on before. I'm like, the first thing when I was in prayer, I was like, what do you do when your back's against the wall? So it's our hope on behalf of Brandon and I, that this has touched at least one life and it's given you some motivation and inspiration. I want you to connect with Brandon. He's all over social media all the time. He actually just joined Clubhouse. I have a weekly Clubhouse show called the Femme Boss Club. That's on Sundays. It's for women founders and women who have a business, a side hustle. A bunch of my amazing accomplished friends, we get on there and help you. So follow Brandon on Clubhouse, on LinkedIn, on Facebook. He's on Instagram. He's an avid tweeter. And then Collectible Exchange. If you are looking for some amazing memorabilia or you want to sell some memorabilia, check it out. Because one thing I know about Brandon is, first thing, he always adds value to everyone, number one. And number two, no matter what happens to him, he could fall out of a 6-story building and his head is going toward the ground and he will somehow land on the 7th story standing on top of that building.
Well, thank you, Susan. I appreciate it. Appreciate you. And by the way, if you go on Collectible Exchange, my book is free. Just pay for the shipping, any one of the 3 books, which I highly recommend if you're really early in the game and trying to rebrand the business playbook or you got to have balls. And I love all my books, but, you know, I guess the critics are the critics, but living on purpose. If you're 40 years old, and even if you're doing well, it's probably my best work. But thanks for having me. Appreciate you. Love you. You know that. And also proud to have you as a friend.
I love you too. And Living on Purpose is my favorite of all your books, just FYI. So check out Collectible Exchange. Go get Brandon's book, get all of his books. And you know, if this has been a helpful episode, please give us a 5-star review, because Brandon and I are a little bit competitive. That's a whole other story. Give us a 5-star review, share it on social, tag us on social. Brandon will respond and I will respond because we do our own social. So with that, God bless, go rock your day. And we'll see you at a future episode of the Susan Sly Project.
To find out more about Susan or hire her to speak, go to www.susansly.com. You can also find Susan on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, and LinkedIn.